Father, we come today acknowledging that we of ourselves and on our own are not able to tame our tongues. You can only do that. Only by your Spirit can you do that. But we do pray for that, because when our tongue is in control, things will be so much better for us and for everyone around us and for your church and for people at large. And Father, we pray today that each of us will receive the part of this that is intended for us, that we will not parcel it out, that we will not be thinking, I wish so-and-so were here today to hear this message, but that we would look at ourselves, and if we are faultless and if we are perfect, then we will praise your name and offer thanks. But if not, then we ask that you really will help us in this area, which is so vital and which you have so much to say about in your word. It's our heart that needs to be changed. And when the heart is right, the tongue will behave. Work in us, we pray, for your glory. And make us better Christians in the sense that we better glorify you by the things we do and say. We ask these things humbly in Jesus' name. And God's people said, Amen. A Sunday or two back, we were on the part about anger. How many remember that one? It said, be quick to hear, be slow to speak, and slow to anger. And so James is only beginning his theme there, and he is only getting warmed up. And then he comes back and he hits it again, and then he comes back and he hits it again. Apparently, the tongue was a problem in the Jerusalem church almost 2,000 years ago. The Jerusalem church, the mother church, the church where the Holy Spirit was poured out and everybody spoke in other tongues and proclaimed the praises of God, and 3,000 came to the Lord in one day. Yes, that church, the church where many miracles were done, where Peter and John go to the temple at the time of prayer, and the lame man asks for an alms, and Peter says, silver and gold have I none, but such as I have give I thee in the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth. Rise and walk. And he rose and he walked and he ran and he leaped and he praised God, and a crowd gathered, and 2,000 more were added to the church that day. Yes, a church that was active in the Holy Spirit, where they were meeting day by day in one another's homes, it says, and they were breaking bread, and they were sharing the good things of God. And yet James, who is the bishop of that church, talks about the tongue in language that most of us would not dare talk about it. So even though there was a real move of God going on there, and even though some wonderful things were happening, I can't imagine he would dedicate this much space in a short letter to this subject unless it was an active and ongoing thing and was doing some harm within the church body. Why else would James write this? Would he write this for no reason at all? And so we've already said, James isn't heavily theological. He's much heavier on the practical parts of Christianity. He doesn't want to know if you can explain the Trinity. He wants to know if you can get along with your brother and your sister. And so he does write about it. Now, if you're one of those who, you know, it's a little insert thing and there's some blanks there, and you take that and you like to fill it in and have something to take home, now would be the time to get it. There aren't that many today, not compared to the last time. The scripture has an awful lot to say about the tongue. The Lord gave us two ears and only one mouth. Which one do we get engaged the most? I don't know. I won't go there. But this little guy is pretty active a lot of the time. You know, a bell. How many have ever seen a bell? You ring it, right? What makes it ring? The little clapper. I call it the clapper. We all have one. And boy, does it stay active. Basic observations. Now, these are straight from the responsive reading, especially point number one and two. Those two are straight from the passage we just read. But let's just paraphrase a little bit, see if we can condense a little bit the statements that basically James makes here. Number one, the tongue, though small, I've heard people say, so-and-so has a long tongue. But even so, it's still pretty small compared to the rest of the body. Wouldn't you agree? Unless it's dragging the ground. The tongue, though small, is extremely powerful. Sometimes very powerful things come in small packages. And the tongue is one of those. And almost impossible to control. Hence, its potential to inflict great harm and incalculable damage. And then the second point that he makes toward the end of the passage is that, number two, as believers, we are often not consistent in our use of the tongue. We come to the Lord's house and we sing the beautiful hymns and we love to sing them. We just sang some and we love to sing them and it's wonderful. And we talk about the things of the Lord and all of that and everything's fine. And then, sometimes we use our tongues in some very constructive and good ways. But then other times, out of that same mouth come things. It's a good thing that everything that we say in the course of a day's time or a week's time isn't recorded for others to hear and play back, and in some cases, maybe even for ourselves to hear and play back. The fact is, I presume a lot of us probably wouldn't even hardly recognize some of the stuff that comes out of our own mouths if it was played back to us later. We just don't remember saying it exactly that way. Just exactly that hurtful, just exactly that cynical, or whatever. But the tongue is small, but it is very powerful. Now, if you have something that is very, very powerful and also very, very hard to control, what kind of a recipe is that? Let's say you have a very, very powerful Lincoln Town Car, of which a few folks in our church have owned those before. When you hit that pedal, it goes. You know what I'm talking about? But suppose it was almost impossible to steer, and the brakes didn't work. We have got a recipe for some major carnage. And that is basically the situation with the tongue. So it's small, but it's very powerful. It is almost impossible to control, and that is why it has such potential to inflict great harm and incalculable damage. And as believers, we often are not consistent in our use of the tongue. One minute we're in church, blessing God, praising God, singing praises, and the next time we are chewing somebody out with some choice words. And they probably wouldn't be words of the Lord's choice. But they are choice nonetheless. Now let's go ahead and go through these and then we're going to come back. Number three. In the passage that I have at the top of the insert, I'm going to read it. Matthew 12, 34 to 37. Jesus said this, and he said it directly to some people. You snakes, how can you who are evil say anything good? For the mouth speaks what overflows from the heart. In the King James, of the abundance of the heart, the mouth speaketh. Some of you have heard that phrase before. The good person brings forth good things from his store of good, and the evil person brings forth evil things from his store of evil. Moreover, I tell you this, on the day of judgment, people will have to give an account for every careless word they have spoken. For by your own words, not other people's words, by your own words you will be acquitted, and by your own words you will be condemned. Proverbs 18:21, the tongue has the power of life and death, and those who love to talk will have to eat their own words. Now, I went through Proverbs. Proverbs has a lot to say about the tongue and about the mouth. There are around 40 verses in the book of Proverbs that deal strictly with the tongue and the mouth, and I copied a lot of them, and I have 30 either little passages or individual verses, 30 of them that will be on the web page whenever these sermon notes are posted at www.sncccc.org. It'll be there. That's just an extra. They'll be there for you to look at and to study. But Proverbs is about wisdom, and Proverbs has a lot to say about the mouth and about the tongue. How powerful is the tongue? The tongue can be used to encourage, comfort, or reassure. It can be used to compliment, honor, or praise. It can be employed to teach, instruct, or correct. It can be used to express love, affection, or admiration. It can be employed to inspire, affirm, or motivate. It can be used to warn, admonish, or rebuke. The tongue can be used to soothe, quiet, or calm. The tongue can be used to reason, to dialogue, or engage in an exchange of ideas. It can be used to criticize, belittle, or insult. It can be used to berate, condemn, or falsely accuse. It can be used to spread rumors and gossip. It can be used to revile, threaten, or intimidate. It can be used to ridicule, mock, or scorn. It can be used to mumble, grumble, and complain. It can be used to lie, seduce, or deceive. It can be used to sow discord, hate, and discontent. It can be used to express rejection, anger, or rage. It can be used to express hatred, prejudice, or pride. It can be used to engage in base and lewd conversation. It can be used to swear, curse, or take God's name in vain. It can be used to oppose the gospel and all that is holy. The tongue has, in reality, probably in our own experiences at some time or other, separated best friends, split churches, caused wars, engendered conflicts, destroyed lives and reputations, incited riots, set in motion acts of revenge, sent innocent people to prison, led people to part with their life savings, and engendered more pain and conflict and heartache and division and strife and sorrow than all other human agencies combined. Every single one of us has been on the receiving end of a barbed tongue. And that, my dear brothers and sisters, that is the problem in the house of God. And that is that very often we do not watch our words as we should. Now, someone may be saying back there, well, does that mean I can never speak out about something? Sure. If we speak the truth and if we really speak it in love, and then what we've said has been said, then fine. But that's not what happens so often. And we misuse our tongue in so many ways. And we provide information that is not needed. And we're hurt, and we go and we spread it with other people and tell other people how we've been hurt by other people. Or we go to somebody and say, did you know that so-and-so said so-and-so about you? Did you know that so-and-so did this or did that or did the other? And there you go. And just like it says in the passage that we read, these forest fires, how many have seen those? They call them wildfires. And they have them out in California, in the West Coast. Have you all seen how bad those fires are? Have you all read about how many firemen died in one of them just a few months ago because it was so totally out of control and it engulfed them? Do you know how almost all of those fires start? How do they start? With one little spark. I saw an old Andy Griffith thing. I don't watch it often, caught part of it. He had this couple, and he was saying, and you're just up. And Andy was there supplying the word. And then she would come back at him, and Andy was there and supplying the word. And a lot of us are kind of that way, you know. And we, oh, I didn't do anything. Oh, you didn't. Did you know that so-and-so said so-and-so? And the first thing you know, you've got a battle going. And we just have to really be careful with how we use our tongue. Now, number three says, the tongue is a revealer of inner motives and feelings. And it may be that we don't mean literally every single word we ever speak. But Jesus said that from the overflow of the heart, the mouth speaks. And if we get a composite of our conversation, say in a week or a month or something like that, you get a composite of that, even our voice inflections, the tones in which we say things, all of those things are really, at some level, they are a snapshot of things that are going on the inside. And so when I'm feeling, now God gave us the tongue for a reason. What is the tongue? Of course, it does a lot of other functions too. It helps us with swallowing and tasting and so many other things. But at this level, why did God give man a tongue? He gave us, did you know he gave us the tongue as a means of what? Expression. What do we say of someone who cannot speak? They probably call it speech impaired now. In the old days, we said they're dumb. The Bible says Jesus made the dumb to speak. It's a means of expression. And it is a wonderful thing to be able to express ourselves. And again, as we read, many things. People can be inspired. People can be brought to tears. People can be brought to repentance through the words that are spoken. And God gave us this medium of expression. And it's a wonderful thing. But it's how we employ it that makes the difference. So that's why it says at the bottom of the page, the tongue can be a lethal weapon handled with care. Anytime that you have something that you're handling and it has, you know, it's really powerful and all that, it can be used for some really wonderful things. But we need to really handle it with care. And as believers, what would the goal be? I think the goal would be, Lord, take my tongue and tame it. Now, James says, no man can tame the tongue. And I think he is absolutely right. But the Lord can tame the tongue. But only the Lord can tame the tongue. Did we do number four? Let's do three and four. We haven't done them. The tongue is a revealer of inner motives and feelings. And that's what Jesus was alluding to in that passage we read, Matthew 12, 34 to 37. And then, the last point here, only a tongue mastered by the Holy Spirit is a truly tamed tongue. Christoph and Stacy are here from England. Christoph, am I stereotyping, or in England, do they have those boat races where it's a long, narrow boat and you have a whole row of rowers competing? Is that an English thing? It is? How many have ever seen that on TV somewhere? Y'all seen that? Love to watch that. Long boat like this, and there's a rower and a rower and a rower. Do you know how many usually forms a team? Don't know. It's quite a few, right? But those guys, I imagine they work out. They've got to have, right? They've got to have. So anyway, but you watch those oars, and those oars are moving that boat. Now, here's my question. Do those oars move that boat by themselves? Or is there somebody moving that oar? That oar is moving because somebody is behind it moving it. Same way with your tongue and my tongue. So James is talking about the tongue, and we've talked about the things the tongue can do. But you see, there's somebody behind that tongue. And when that tongue is used in the wrong ways, it's because there's somebody behind it, moving it and using it the wrong way. The tongue just doesn't, you know, we sometimes we think, well, he says the tongue can't be controlled. Well, that's because, what do we mean when we say control the tongue? Well, here's the thing, folks, we not only need to change what we actually say. And there is a time where we've all been there. You think it, feel it, but it isn't always wise to voice it. But if what is thought and felt in that moment, then it had a little thing here about what pleases the Lord and what doesn't. Even if we held our tongue on that one, was what was being felt at that moment and being thought at that moment, was that something pleasing to the Lord or not? If I'm playing sounds through my computer or through a sound system and I unplug the speakers, but the thing's still playing, is it still playing what it's playing? So the real thing about the tongue is, when we get what is operating it, when what is behind it is right, then the rest of it will be right. The tongue won't be so much of a problem. So not only do we need to say to the Lord, Lord, give me wisdom when to speak, when not to speak, what to say, what not to say, and even when I do choose to say, the way, Lord, to say it the way that will please you. There is a way to say something without hurting somebody, really, or coming across that way. But, on the other hand, if the emotion or the thought behind it was wrong, then even if I didn't voice it, what I'm saying is this, even if I didn't voice it in that moment, I have still got something to repent of, and I've still got something to say, Lord, as the course. And I don't choose those courses. Somebody else chose that course. Change my what? Heart, oh God. Make it ever true. Change my heart, oh God. Let me be like And that's what we're talking about at the end of the day. We're talking about Christian character. We're talking about a mouth that speaks because it is prompted by good things. Jesus says to that group of Jews, how can you say anything good when your heart's evil? No wonder what comes out of your mouth is filthy, because you have a filthy heart. So this is the area. We say, I want to be more like Christ. Do you? Then this is a very important area where with the Lord's help, yes, and His Word and all of that, we can actually become more like Christ. More like Christ in our thoughts, more like Christ in our attitudes, and more like Christ in our conversations. How many are old enough to remember an evening prayer? It's the name of a song. If I have wounded any soul today, this is a good prayer, you know, at the end of the day. If I have caused one foot to go astray, if I have walked in my own willful way, dear Lord, forgive. If I have uttered idle words and vain, if I have turned aside from want or pain, lest I myself should suffer through the strain, dear Lord, forgive. If I have been perverse or hard or cold, if I have longed for shelter in thy fold when thou hast given me some fort to hold, dear Lord, forgive. Forgive the sins I have confessed to thee. Forgive the hidden sins I do not see. Oh, guide me, love me, and my keeper be. Dear Lord, amen. What a wonderful sentiment. And to come that way, what do you think would happen if we really prayed that and really meant it for 30 days in a row? That's going to be on the webpage too. But by whatever means, I think all of us, how many would say, I think all of us have room to improve? Every single one of us. Every single one of us. Teach me, Lord, to watch my words. And Lord, give me attitudes that will please you. Let's pray. Father, we come to you today. We thank you for giving us the ability to express ourselves. I think if we didn't have that, some of us would probably just explode. But Lord, what we express is of concern to you. And so we pray, Lord, that what is expressed will be what is in our heart. But if the right things aren't in our heart, then how can the right expressions come out? And Lord, we have a lot of good emotions. We have a lot of good feelings. We have a lot of good things that we've learned from your word and all of that. We thank you for that. But we've still got some other stuff hanging around, lurking in the corners of our minds or in the deeper recesses of our heart. Sometimes we don't even know they're there until something happens, and all of a sudden out it comes. But Lord, you, that's why we have a Savior. That's why we have an intercessor. And you're there to help us with these things. My biggest prayer is this, that we would not be blind to this. That we would not be able to see it in others, but not be able to see it in ourselves. And that by your Holy Spirit, you would give us a basic desire, Lord. Say, sometimes we say this room needs an overhaul, and we go in and we redo that room. Lord, sometimes some parts of our lives need an overhaul so that what comes out of our mouth will be what is pleasing to you. We don't want to be insincere. We don't want to say anything to anybody that we don't really mean, but we certainly don't want to say words that are hurtful. And even if somebody's in the wrong, there is a way to approach that person very gently and share your truth and then put it to prayer and let you do the work. But Lord, just help us. Just teach us. And as believers and interacting in a household of faith, Lord, that our words would be words that build each other up. That's what it says in your word, to build one another up. To build one another up. We build one another up through encouragement and through sharing your truth and all of that, and even on occasion holding accountable, but in a loving way. And Lord, that's my prayer today. And just work in us, Lord. Do some overhauling, Lord, pray, in some areas, Lord. And when you've done that, we're going to find it's not going to be a struggle anymore. We're not going to struggle to hold our tongues as much in certain situations, because you've done an overhaul back in the back there where the stuff emanates from. And Lord, so we pray that we would have open hearts to you, and that we would be allowing you to work in us, Lord, day by day. And all of us, none of us are beyond this. All of us need help in this area, myself included. So Lord, help us all. And Lord, that the words of our mouth and the meditation of our heart would be acceptable to you, O Lord, our God. We thank you now. Work in us, we pray. And that for 1,000 tongues to sing. My great Redeemer's praise. In heaven, we'll be praising more than we're doing anything else. Help us to praise you here and now, and help us to build our brother up. We ask these things in Jesus' name. And God's people said, amen. Amen.